Blog Talk Radio.
Shelly Nunchucks on the Shelly Nunchuck Show with my little Furl Brawl co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty, and little Rocky Balboa Kidding. And I'm going to call him Stitch because he's such a little stinker. You guys don't even see what happens when he does in the show. And it's like maybe he's starting to calm down. But today when I was taking a shower, this little bugger, when I was in the shower, he unrolled the whole entire toilet paper roll because I heard him flipping in the bathroom. I get out of the shower today, the whole entire toilet paper roll was unraveled. It went from the bathroom all the way out, and I looked at it, and I was just like, what the? The cat unrolled the whole entire toilet paper roll and just had a field day, and I had toilet paper all over the house. I know you TP the outside of the house, but this cat TP'd the whole inside of my house today. You little stinker, and now he's sitting beside me chewing on me. And other things that he does, too, where I'm just like, what are you doing? And I'm trying to get a very strong bowl because I've never had a kitten do this before. And no matter what I do with the dry food itself, he takes it out of the bowl and puts it all over the floor. And I'm like, what are you doing? So he literally is like playing hockey back and forth with the little dry food there. So right now he's chewing on my foot. Get out of here. I'm like, just be a good boy. Just be a good boy. Settle down. And their claws and their teeth, they're mighty sharp. So maybe he's going to start calming down a little bit. I don't blame you, Jackie Chan Key. She's up on the fridge. I don't blame her one bit at all. But, tonight I didn't have a scheduled guest. So what I'm doing is I'm actually reading a couple of the fundraiser. And as I'm trying to get the web page up, the cat is all soaking wet. He's climbing all over me. I'm like, oh, you little wet rat. This thing is so small, but it's so fast that I can't even catch this little sucker. It's like, it's this little blur of gray. You're like, pew! And I've never had a thing run so fast. I mean, you know, I know about ferrets and stuff, which are pretty fast, and maybe this thing is caught ferret, this cat, because I know ferrets tend to knock over their dish bowls, and this one, he doesn't. I just get done cleaning up the bowl, he spills it all again. I'm just like, you little stinker. So anyway, yeah, I'm trying to watch him, like, what are you doing? I was like, maybe someday I'll do a live video of him, but, you know, he's just a little kitten, and he's a handful. So, anyway, I have two fundraisers that I did want to speak about tonight. One was the Martial Arts Kid, and the other one was the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. Now, with the I'll be talking back and forth, and I don't know if anybody's going to call in or not, but I posted the telephone number, and this is the number, 347-989-1473. And once again, this is the telephone number, 347-989-1473. So if anybody likes to call in, I'd like to bring up first the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. As I've been talking about, probably going on almost, 10 months now, trying to raise money for the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. And it's a nonprofit organization. And I actually had the founder, the CEO, John Hagner, on my show before. And he welcomed me as a board of advisor on the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. And I'm raising money because what the museum, hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and stunt performers of motion pictures and television featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, and stunt legends of the movies, including Yakima Canute, Cliff Lyons, Dave Sharp, Ronnie Rendell, and hundreds of others. There are over 350 concrete blocks that contain the footprints and handprints as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema, a collection that outranks those that are located at the Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection has taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and preserve for posterity, featuring parts of costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos and paintings and drawings, hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hundreds of items from the movies and television, plus videos, film, and film clips. The Hall of Fame has been in existence since 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984, dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and to honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without a home and needs financial support to enable them to afford a building in which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame and mail it to 81 West Kane, K-A-N-E, Creek Boulevard, C-R-E-E-K Boulevard. So that's 81 West Kane Creek Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, 84532. This is code 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2160. Email address is johnhagner@gmail.com, johnhagner@gmail.com. For additional information, go to Facebook and click in Falling for Stars, then Artists of the Stars, then Stunt Stars and Legends. So you can actually check that out yourself. And the little kitten, get out of here, you little rug rat, get out. I'm sitting on the bed and little cat's like playing with me, chewing on me. I have so many scratches on my arms. Let me do my little thing. I'll play with you afterwards. Get out of here, you little rat. Maybe I should videotape it and put on my Facebook page. If I get an extra little camera, I will do that, and I'll show you guys what the little stinker does to me during the show. But, yeah, if anybody would like to donate, that's the information again. I do have it on my Facebook page, and this is my shows are always archived, too, so you can always listen once again once I'm live off the air. And you can actually go to, this is the website, to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. Once again, it's a nonprofit organization, so you can make a tax-deductible donation and send it in. And any donations would be greatly appreciated because I think it is for a really worthy cause. So with that, I am going to play one song or a couple songs, and then I'll be right back. So hang in there. And this is Cardiac with Let Me Know.
Yeah. Thursday, hot to full play. You said no way. I said okay, maybe later. As I pick my game by the elevator, thump thump. As I'm grabbing a hand, and I don't mind a girl with superior game.
You got me going crazy.
Cinnamon ain't coming at you, see. I know that this here is special. Eye contact and a lick of the lips. I'm over the hips. Got me about to trip like the clumsiest kid. Hate game and a bang of the chest. Cardi don't rest. Till I finesse the drop of the dress. Let the niggas see it, cause you know I'm the best.
Thought that you had me, boy. Met you at the after party. Not gonna do nothing, boy. Call me when I leave the lobby.
I know that you feel me, girl. Met you at the after party.
It's Shelly Nunchuck on the Shelly Nunchuck Show. We're over the middle of the week. Yeehaw! Anyway, tonight I didn't have any scheduled guests tonight, so what I wanted to do was actually do a little bit of fundraising and help support the Martial Arts Kid Film with their fundraising, and also once again with the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. And I posted quite a few things. If you've on my Facebook page, you can all listen to this recap of all the pages that I was talking about before, and you can actually go check on my page, which is, of course, it's Shelly Nunchucks, but I think I have Shelly Common Nunchucks for my Facebook page, so it has all the information. But once again, for the Falling for the Stars, if you go to the website, once again, it's a nonprofit organization, the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame, the official site that actually says John Hagner. He's the founder, the CEO. And once again, with the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame about the VM, it says here, this is actually on the site itself. It's hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and stunt performers of the motion pictures and television, featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, and stunt legends of the movies, including Malcolm X, Commit, Cliff Lyons, Dave Sharp, Ronnie Rundell, and hundreds of others. There are over 350 concrete blocks that contain the footprints and handprints, as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema, a collection that ranks those that are located at the Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection has taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and preserve for posterity, featuring plastic costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos and paintings and drawings, hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hundreds of items from the movies and television, plus videos, films, and film clips. The Hall of Fame has been in existence in 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984, dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and to honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without a home and needs financial support to enable them to afford a building in which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame and mail it to 81 West Cane Creek Boulevard, and that's West Cane, K-A-N-E, Creek, C-R-E-E-K, Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, the zip code is 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2160. Email address is johnhagner@gmail.com, johnhagner@gmail.com. For additional information, go to Facebook and click in Falling for Stars, then Artist of the Stars, then Stunt Stars and Legends. And I actually posted that stuff right on my Facebook page, so you can even click onto my page and you'll be able to see everything, and it shows, you know, on the Artist of Stars, I just posted a few things of John that he drew himself. And this is the CEO, the founder. He actually drew, and I posted it, was a Kirk Douglas, and it's actually beautiful print signed by the Artist of the Stars that are available for a donation of your choice to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. So with that, I mean, it's utterly amazing. I mean, his artwork is absolutely incredible. I'm not kidding. If you just go to Artist of the Stars, you will see these are his drawings. He drew them himself, and they look like, I can't even tell you how wonderful these pictures are. It shows, it's like, it's a star, 59 photos. I mean, it's Tom Selleck. Some of them I do definitely know. I mean, it's got Kevin Costner, Tom Selleck. I'm looking at the pictures of Sam Elliott. And it's unbelievably incredible. Marilyn Monroe, Arnold Schwarzenegger, James Dean, Chuck Connors, Humphrey Bogart. I mean, look, you guys got to go check this out, Artist of the Stars. His drawings are amazing, really, really amazing. I'm looking at this. It's like really, really talented. So check that out. I mean, just even to just glance at this, Artist of the Stars. And when you go there, the main picture is a picture he drew of John Wayne. Guy is incredible. You've got to check this out. And it says here, you know, John G. Hagner, John G. Hagner has been creating portrait drawings in black and white graphite pencil for more than 60 years and has done 54 different portraits and poses of John Wayne. His artwork is true to life. And it says description on the page, which is Artist of the Stars. John G. Hagner, the Artist of the Stars, had drawn hundreds of portraits of famous celebrities. He uses the medium of graphite pencils. He is also a fine artist in colored pencils, watercolors, acrylics, and oils, and has excelled in the old-fashioned techniques used in scratchboard. He has drawn, once again, over 54 different portraits and poses of John Wayne. Amazing, amazing artwork. So check that out in Artist of the Stars. So tonight, once again, I'm just supporting a couple of fundraisers, and my second one I do want to talk about, it is the Martial Arts Kids. We have an update on it. Let me just refresh here, see if there's any updates on it. I probably have to go back in my search here and actually bring it up. So I'm going back into Kickstarter, and I'm looking it up. So give me one moment with the Martial Arts Kids. It's in Kickstarter, and we are just right there at our goal. So I'm bringing this up. It's on Kickstarter. Now, the latest is we have 7 days, only 7 days left. There was a pledge of goal of $150,000. And what I'm seeing, the updates on that, I'm pulling it up again, once again. I'm just pulling this up here. Update, in the last few hours, we went from $110,740 to $111,310, and we have 7 days left to raise $38,690, and any donations would be gladly appreciated. Now, if you go to the Kickstarter for the Martial Arts Kid, and you bring it up, it says Traditions Movie 1, LLC, and you actually bring it up, and I mean, looking at this, it has a share of over, people have shared this on Facebook alone, over 16,962 people have shared this one Kickstarter, the Martial Arts Kid, and what this is about. You know, I mean, there's living legends that's going to be in there, including Don the Dragon Wilson himself. So this is actually what it says on the site. When you go to Kickstarter, I'll even read it to you. The Martial Arts Kid is a spectacular coming-of-age family action film that is founded in traditional and mixed martial arts. The Martial Arts Kid is going to be a classic coming-of-age movie for the whole family. It features important topics like class struggles, bullying, friendship, loyalty, responsibility, family, community, and even a sweet love story. The film will be partially shot in beautiful and sunny Florida and will star the greatest ensemble of martial arts legends ever assembled anywhere ever. Hot cars, sunny beaches, epic battles, yes, epic battles, yes, 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 bad guys, and even some bad girls. Not since The Fast and the Furious has movie screen had hit this much high-octane action. Your face will melt from the heat of the battles. This will be the greatest ensemble of real martial artists since Enter the Dragon in Force 5. And then it says the synopsis, when troubled teen Robbie moves to Cocoa Beach, Florida from Detroit after his grandmother's had enough of his antics, he soon realizes that everywhere he goes, there is somebody who doesn't want him to be happy. And in Cocoa Beach, that somebody is Bo Whitelaw, the toughest and most popular guy at the high school. From the moment Bo gives Robbie a beatdown in front of Rena, the prettiest girl in school, we know Robbie's chance of living in a happy neighborhood are not just realistic. To help Robbie stand a chance of survival in a dangerous teen world, his estranged Aunt Cindy and Uncle Glenn, played by action legends Cynthia Lady Dragon Rothrock and Don the Dragon Wilson, are there to coach and train Robbie. Along the way, Robbie learns defensive skills that will give him a chance to defend himself. But will that be enough to protect him from Bo and all-out epic battle? And will Robbie ever be the man in Rena's eyes? Find out when everything comes to a head in a final showdown that pits legends of traditional martial arts against MMA fighters in a battle you'll have to see to believe. I am so super pumped. I can't even tell you how pumped I'm up for this film, for this film. I'm so super pumped up. I mean, it's just really great that there's a lot of living legends in the martial arts community that's actually going to be in this film. And even to bring this up even further, it says here, where will the money go? We have some of the funding, yes. We're not penny pinchers, but to make movies as high quality as it should be, we need your extra help. The producers have over 100 years of filmmaking experience between them. Then, utilizing Michael Baumgarten's, if I'm saying it correctly, I know I have the Boston accent, but I'm going to spell Michael's last name. It's Baumgarten apostrophe S. Past filmmaking successes at achieving high production value even on a low budget. Michael would create an on-screen world that gives the martial arts kid a combination of beauty, American life, and the grittiness of something of sometimes dangerous world. We're also getting mega discounts on the equipment, locations, crew rates, and cast rates while putting the money on the screen by bringing in some of the biggest names in martial arts. And in the grant scheme, we're literally producing this entire movie for even less than one supporting actor on a hit sitcom gets paid in a week, while cutting our rates because we really want to make the martial arts kid for our fellow martial artists around the world and for the fans of action movies in general. We want to prove the value of names such as Don the Dragon Wilson and Cynthia Lady Rock, and there is a true interest in real martial arts films with a message. Well, we can't do this without your help. Where will we shoot? Getting out of Los Angeles and filming many of the major exterior locations in Cocoa Beach, Florida, is a cinematographer's dream. The vibe of an authentic Florida beach town is unique and offers great production value opportunities. We will feature amazing sunrises, beautiful waters, a local zoo, and all of the local flavor that makes this Florida coast city a tourist destination. Fight choreography, when you want the best, you got to seek out the best. Our fight scenes will be choreographed. Are you ready for this? The fight scenes will be choreographed by veteran martial artist and stuntman James Wu. I'm so pumped. I'm going to pee my pants here. I'm so pumped. It's James Wu. Come on. If you don't know who James Wu is in the stunt world, you may as well go stick your head in the sand. I mean, seriously, this is James Wu. I'm spitting and drooling all over myself. That's how excited I am. I'm foaming at the mouth. James Wu, yes. James has worked on Rush Hour, Lethal Weapon 4, The Last Samurai, Inception, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Battleship, Tropic Thunder, Dark World, Showdown in Little Tokyo, and a TV series for The Crow. And it's bringing up here, I'm just going over the site right now. And as I'm going over the site for Martial Arts, because remember, you can have a Kickstarter. And it does look like someone's calling, so give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Shelley, it's Debbie Goodman out in California.
Hi, How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, I was lucky enough to get to interview Dawn the Dragon Wilson and James Liu in the home of none other than James Liu just about, not even a month ago, like 3 weeks ago. It was so fantastic.
Oh, gosh. You must have had so much fun. I'm jealous right now.
Oh, my God. Fun wasn't even the word for it. It was like, oh, my gosh, somebody pinch me. Is this real? It was great. I also interviewed the director of the film, Michael Baumgarten, and James Wilson, the producer, one of the producers. So you can actually go to my Facebook page, Martial Arts Mania, and the videos are posted there. You can watch. Most of them are under 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But and then, of course, there was Dragon Fest a week ago last weekend down in Burbank. I went to that and interviewed, TJ Storm and Jansen Panettiere and a couple other people that are connected with the film. So just finished editing that, and it should be up and running in a day or two.
Wow. I think I did see some of the interviews, but you know, just in case for the viewers, I mean for the listeners, can you tell a little bit about the interviews so you know they can what they can look forward to while watching your interviews on your page?
Okay, let's see. Well, let me tell you how the day went. It was just absolutely fantastic. It was like a dreamlike world in Southern California. James has this absolutely gorgeous home. I can't tell you exactly where it's at,
mm-hmm.
but it's in Southern Cal. And invited us over, and we got there a little bit early because we wanted to set up, and he wasn't quite expecting us, but he was just the most gracious host. He'd make somebody a great wife. I mean, this guy can cook, but not only that, he had everything just so nicely set up for us. He had, you know, out here it's really popular to drink infused water. You know, you cut up fruit in water, and it's just, you know, that's a California thing. But anyway, let's see. Then James Wilson came. Oh, you know what was a real treat? Ryan Potter was there. Ryan Potter has his own TV show called Super Ninjas on Nickelodeon. And, you know, I just didn't grab him fast enough. I would have loved to have interviewed him. But anyway, my focus was on James Liu and Dawn the Dragon Wilson that day. So, well, James was cooking us dinner, and he is a fabulous cook. I'm not just saying that. He's just a fabulous cook. Dawn and I went into the living room, and that's where I interviewed him. And he's just one of the most fabulous people to interview because he's so easy to interview. You know, throw a subject out there and Dawn can roll for hours, you know. Actually taught me some health things. I've now started taking glucosamine, chondroitin. Did I say that right? You know, I had to go get the big tablets. Yeah, because, you know, after a certain age, we'll say after 40, you know, you start aching. And anyway, I started using this and I'm feeling a lot better. So anyway, interviewed him. Then I took James Wilson outside by James Liu's swimming pool. We interviewed outdoors and interviewed Michael Baumgarten. And then we came back in the house and I interviewed James Liu. Oh, James has the cutest little dog. His name is Floyd.
He's a little white thing, isn't he? Like a scruffy kind of like dog.
Like a rat terrier or something, but he is the sweetest little dog. He is just too cute. So he was pretty much near us all day, and James has a couple of cats. I remember walking around the house. But it was just so nice. It was great conversation. We talked a lot about how James got his start, basically. There were a lot of things I didn't know about him. And, I mean, I've been following him for over 20 years. I have his books. I have his videos. I didn't know how he got started in martial arts. And he had moved in next door to Douglas and Curtis Wong when he was young. And I guess he and Curtis were buddies. And Curtis says, let's take karate. So they, you know, signed up at a local martial arts school. And James said, you know, he kind of switched around styles, as many of us do. And he got his start in the TV show Kung Fu back in the 1970s with David Carradine. You can see that on my interview with him, and also a picture of he and David Carradine together wearing their little bald skin wigs, you know. And it was really interesting. I never knew that James had originally set out to be a pharmacist. But, you know, I'll tell you what, I have a cousin that lives in Studio City, and she always says, when you're good enough, Hollywood comes looking for you. And apparently Hollywood came looking for him because he's had an illustrious career in the movies and television doing what he does best, which is martial arts. Really, really nice man. He's very calm, very kind of in Zen mode. We discussed Tai Chi a little bit because Kung Fu was my style. And as we get older, you know, we kind of like, let's go into a little bit of Tai Chi. Tai Chi is just marvelous. It's good for anybody, any age, any style. In fact, I've currently been taking Tai Chi lessons from a gentleman who is a Taekwondo practitioner here in Fresno. But anyway, I noticed that James had posted on his Facebook page that he's looking for a Tai Chi instructor down in the Los Angeles area that teaches Chen style. So Carrie Wong teaches Tai Chi. She's down in Reseda. Neat lady. I don't know if you've gotten to know Carrie very well, but I've known her for more than 20 years. Let's see. What else can I tell you about those interviews? But I would say that those are two of the best interviews I've gotten.
I think you, isn't she Douglas's wife?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Douglas's
okay.
Never
had
wife.
A... Yes. Okay.
Yeah, she's got a neat story. She's got quite the, I call it a soulmate story of how she came to meet Douglas, you know. They're just the nicest people. And their kids, they have three kids that are probably all in their 20s now. Travis is the oldest, and Tia, and the youngest one is Cassidy. All the kids have turned out very successful. Travis is in show business, and he does tricking and parkour, makes commercials, does, you know, stuff in movies. But the great thing about these people is that they're still humble. You know, they don't let it go to their head. They're grateful for every job they get. And it's that way in show business. You know, I do commercials out here, and I'll tell you, I am so grateful every time I land one. I don't do the big national ones, so, you know, I do a lot of the local stuff. But it still pays pretty well. But I'll tell you, you never know when your next job is going to come up. So, you know, you just keep being grateful for each one that comes along.
Yeah, and I heard, you know, out there it's a dog-eat-dog world.
You know, people have a real strange idea in their head about California. In fact, we kind of make fun of it out here. We kind of play along with it. If you've ever seen movies like, you know, it's Beverly Hills Chihuahua and stuff like that, they take it way over the top, way extreme. And they try to make it look like this is what people expect of us. This is not what we really are, but this is what people expect of us. I've never lived outside of California. I've visited several different places, and I love the differences, you know. And I'm going to have to make it back to the East Coast one of these days. I've known quite a few people from the East Coast, but I've never been there. We're a little bit laid back out here, but I'll tell you, we have so much traffic. I live in Central California in a town that went from having a population of about 100,000 to almost 600,000 in kind of a short span of time. They've always referred to us as Baby LA, and we're living up to the name. The film industry's picking up here, and that's how I'm able to make the show. In fact, when I'm down in Los Angeles shooting a show, they always say, "You're from Fresno? How are you able to do this from Fresno?" I said, "Oh, well, we have this Community Media Access Collaborative, you know, that's basically sponsored by Comcast and AT&T, and I said, we're provided with state-of-the-art equipment. They offer classes. They teach us how to use the equipment. They're even expanding on the classes now. They're teaching things like screenwriting. We have a $500 million Mercedes-Benz van that can go out to do location shoots, you know, usually like sporting events, concerts, things like that. So I was very fortunate. The CMAC, CMAC, has only been in existence a little over 2 years, and I joined, it'll be 2 years ago this August. But it's been incredible because you meet the most interesting people. You meet other people that are into making film and television shows, you know, commercial type things. Really, really interesting people. I've made some great friends. Bestina Meninoloth is my, she's normally my camera operator, and she's willing to travel with me. She's the one that went with me down to James Liu's house. And she's young. She's in her early 20s, and it was kind of funny when I first explained to her, well, we've been invited to this guy's house, and basically they're going to barbecue, and we're gonna, she looked at me and she goes, we're going to his house? This doesn't sound good. And I said, no. I said, believe me, I know people who know him. He's fine. He's fine. And one of the guys that works down at CMAQ, he says to Bestina, he says, that's the way things are done in Southern California. You mix business with pleasure. It'll be okay. She had a great time. She just had a blast. There was another young woman who's connected with the martial arts kid named Michaela. I think her last name is Vu. The two of them were talking like old friends, just jabbering away, talking about film. And Bestina was telling her about CMAQ. And, you know, Fresno has its own little film festivals and whatnot. So, yeah, it was definitely a great time. I wish I had more good times like that.
Oh my gosh! So, you don't mind me asking, what did James cook to eat?
you're not even gonna believe this. It was the best. Now, keep in mind, Aunt, who is Italian from New York, James made spaghetti, and it was the best spaghetti sauce I have ever tasted. It was just incredible. No, like I say, we get there, he's already got this stuff laid out. He's got the infused water. He's got chips, you know, all this just wonderful stuff for us. And he was actually going to barbecue also. I mean, he had the meat laid out. And James Wilson goes, no, you've done enough already. And I'm thinking, no, let's have the barbecue. But I'm not kidding. See, I cannot stand mushrooms. I think mushrooms are just nasty and slimy and icky. But he had mushrooms in, get this, he had mushrooms in that spaghetti sauce, and I ate them. That says a lot.
I'm hungry.
Yes, it was fabulous. So, and then we just sat around and talked later on. You know, people that think, you know, movie actors in Hollywood have wild parties. Boy, what a disappointment.
No. I think that'd be awesome. I says, hey, you know, if I ever make it out there and, you know, James, I want to cook. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I heard you're a good cook. I got to tease him. If I ever meet James or if you know, I'll have to be like, I heard you were a good cook. I got to, you know, see
yeah.
for myself.
Oh, yeah. No, really fabulous. I mean, like I say, this guy would make somebody a good wife. Nice house. House was clean and neat when we got there. And a great host. Yeah, I'm really, really impressed. It's nice when your, let's just say, for the lack of a better word, idols are also nice people. You know, I go down to the Emmys, not every year, but almost every year. And most of the celebrities I've met have been nice people. Every once in a while you'll see somebody that's not behaving in a very nice manner or some that are a little snooty, but that's kind of rare. You know, most actors I've met are very hardworking people, and again, they're grateful for every job that they get. If they've had to struggle to get there, they understand, you know, there's no guarantees in this business.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, you know what I think it is too, because you hear all these, look, I try to stay away from all the negative stuff and all the tabloids and stuff, but it's like, you know, because the media, they show what happens when some of the actors, you know, bad things happen to them. And it's like, I think in the acting world, anything to do with martial arts and the stunt community, it seems like it's a really great community. All I hear are good stuff. That's all I hear is good stuff. People are healthy. People are happy. And look at, you know, the older gentleman, because I try to help reprogram minds because it's still set in my mind because when I was growing up, okay, I kept mm-hmm. hearing the word old. And it's like, this yeah. was embedded in my mind since I was little. And this talking about like a little kid and people saying, I'm old and old. And I'm still trying to like, you know, I'm trying to talk to like grandmasters and stuff. And here we see with the martial arts kid, Donna Dragon Wilson, who's 59 years old, is doing darn well. And I'm
oh,
saying,
yeah.
Like,
no.
Oh, my gosh. You know, amazing.
I have
amazing.
I've shown pictures of him to people, and I said, guess how old this guy is? They guess him in his 40s easily. Early. Somebody said 38. 38 to 42. Well, I made him guess my age, too. And, you know, guys don't want to do that. That's forbidden territory. You don't want to guess a woman's age, because and you want to shoot low. But it was really funny because I said, no, I said, really, I want to know how old I look to people. And that way, you know, maybe I can do something to correct it. So I don't know if he was being honest or not, but he said like 40s, like maybe 42 for me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I like this guy because I'm about 15 years older than that.
Really? Because I thought,
yep.
no, seriously, because, you know, like when we're on Facebook and we're talking, I thought
mm-hmm.
you were close to my age. I thought you were. No, because
yep.
it's like, you know how you click with someone and you
yep.
do that on like, Facebook and it's just the internet, and I'm kind of like, I think this is the first time we really ever talked. And
yeah.
it just seems like we clicked, and I'm like, I look at your pictures, I'm like, no, you're not. You just told me your age now. And I'm like, no, you're not. You,
yeah.
you know, if you just tell me that, you would add in a bit of my mind. I would thought you were younger than what you're telling me. I'm like, no way.
Thank you. Well,
younger.
I have to tell you part of my secret. I have to credit my job, the job that I've had since the early 1980s. I teach high school. And as ornery as those kids can be, me young. You know, you have to be quick. You have to be very quick-witted. They've taught me a lot about quick comebacks, about sarcasm. You know, that's pretty much the only way to survive with them. But also, it's really funny is you keep up with the styles because they'll make fun of your clothes, your hair, if it isn't up to date. They'll let you know, you know. They'll say, oh, look at your cell phone. Oh, my gosh, that's so 1990s, you know, kind of thing. You have to kind of keep up. And I think I have to credit that my job, although some days I come home pulling out my hair going, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. In many ways, I really like working with kids that age. In fact, I'm looking forward to summer school is coming up. And it's kind of nice to just have a whole new batch. And I teach the same class, same subject all day, summer school. So I teach English. And in fact, I don't know if you've heard of Gary Soto. He's an author. He's written several books, like Baseball in April. He wrote a poem called Oranges, which is in, I believe, the ninth grade literature book. But anyway, Gary Soto is going to be out at the San Joaquin River Parkway River Ranch House tomorrow night. And so I'm taking a crew out there, and we're going to shoot Gary probably reading poetry and whatnot, and then I hope to get an interview with him that I can show in the classroom. And then we also have Philip Levine here in Fresno, and he's going to be doing a reading on June 12th. And again, I'll be out there with the crew. So my filming, although my martial arts mania show is my baby, I also want to do some documentaries and educational films.
Hmm. So you got a full plate.
Oh, I'm busy all the time. In fact, I just got home from Best Buy. I went and bought some SD cards for for filming these next couple weeks.
Oh, wow. And it's really cool how far technology has come, because SD cards, they're like this little inch thing.
Well, you know, back in the day, when I took filmmaking and film study in both high school and college, and we worked with Super 8 back in the day. And I remember, you know, you used a pair of scissors and some glue to splice film. And I kind of skipped the whole video generation, and here we are in the digital. I still need to see Keanu Reeves' movie Side by Side. Oh, yes, that's right. We have a battle going on here, don't we? We fight over Keanu Reeves. fight over Keanu Reeves.
I can't help it. It's like, it's just funny because you know how, like, society tries to program, like, in mainstream media, and they try to say, you know, this person's beautiful, that one's good looking.
Yeah.
I was like, I like what I like, and you know, you're the same way. You like what you like. I was like,
yeah.
You know, older guys or whatever. It's like, you know, I'm in my 40s, so it's not like I'm like, you know, it's kind of like, well, if it's 10 years or 20 years old, it's not, it can't be too bad, right? You know, but Keanu, I'm like, I look at him, he just seems like a sweetheart. He still does. I saw
yeah.
an interview with 47 Ronin, and the way he was talking and held himself, and I was just like, and then I was like, I don't know if I heard he was, like, getting engaged. I'm like, oh, there goes our chances. I'm just like, I was like, no! Because I was like, man, if he's taken, though, you know what? If he ends up getting married, I just, like, you know, because they network. People say, let's do lunch. I'll be like, yeah, let's do lunch. Let's talk, you know? But he was just
awesome.
Like, talk to him. You know,
people are always engaged in Hollywood. I've seen some of the most interesting phony relationships. You know, like I say, I've been to the Emmys, and I'll go to the dinner party afterwards, and you'll see, and I won't mention any names, but you'll see a celebrity with someone, and after it's all over, they walk away from them. It was all for show. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Hollywood and relationships, I don't take them too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, did they actually say? I haven't heard that he's engaged anybody.
See,
what
I think he was, I tried to look it up the day me and you were talking about on Facebook, and you're like, no, he's mine. And I'm like, no, he's mine. So I was like, wait a minute. Is he engaged? Because I know he was dating, but I don't know if he was engaged or not. And I'm just like, man, and the only time, I don't really look into people's relationship, but I was like, yeah, you know, it's like the date Keanu. I'm just like, the nigga,
yeah.
He's just a cutie pie. And I don't know, he could be, like I said, I don't keep track of people's relationships. And I was like, you know, even just to go on one date, that's all I ask. It can't be too much ask. But, you know, for me, I mean, as much as crazy stuff that I want to do in my life, you know, stunts and all this stuff, I think there's kind of something a little bit still, I don't know if you want to say old-fashioned or if it sounds silly or lame. Me, myself, I've never really dated so many guys at once. It's kind
right.
of like, and do you know what I mean? It's like, I know people, maybe they do, maybe I can't get involved in knowing who is dating who, whatever, and it's like, it seems like people like to date a lot of people. For me,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like, I think it's not quantity. I think it's quality because all this thing about, you know how, like, nowadays it's like there's this fight over who should pay the bill and stuff like that, and it's like it's very hard because it's like, here I am, you know, it's like sitting there, it's like, you know, I don't want to get arrested going out to dinner when the guy refuses to pay a bill and I have to pay dishes or something like that. You know, do dishes in the back because the guy doesn't want to pay a bill. And it's like, I'm not greedy or something like that, but I was like, I don't even know. I have no game. I don't have any, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
it's like, I just don't.
I've got to tell you about some of the nicest guys that I've met or... if you want to call it dating. It wasn't a date. I have to make this really clear. It wasn't a date, but several times Silvio Cimac and I did things together. Okay? We went to dinner together, and he was always a gentleman. There was no question about who was going to pay for it. I think I would have insulted him if I had opened my purse. You know what I'm saying? He was a guest on my show one time, and he's been in several movies. He was with Jason Statham in Transporter 3. That's the only one that comes to my mind. I can, like, see a flash of all of his films in my mind. I couldn't give you a title. He's very good-looking. He's Italian and Croatian. He lives in London. That's somebody maybe you can get on your show sometime. But there again, real gentleman. Now, he was in the movie with Keanu Reeves. He was in Man of Tai Chi. And he said Keanu Reeves was one of the nicest people he's ever worked with. He got Silvio got locked out of his room in China. He said the guy with the key was an hour away. And Keanu Reeves says, well, why don't you just come over and sit in my room until the guy gets here? You know, it just doesn't think twice about it. It's just, that's something I would do. You know, if somebody's locked out of their room, what are you going to do? Say, well, you're on your own, you know.
Oh, I was Googling it. Well, you know, I was doing your interview and bringing up, like, oh, he's nice looking.
Like, oh, he is. Oh, yeah, he's a...
I know who he is now.
Yes,
giggling right now, live on the
air. Oh, yeah.
Showing him to a grown woman giggling over a guy. Oh, he's cute.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
it was funny because when we were out in public together, we were somewhere. Oh, I know what it was. He loves to go to Western stores and go shopping for, we call them cowboy stores, but, you know, Western clothing, because they don't have it over in England. And I'm standing at the counter next to him, and this lady goes, can I help you? And I said, I know I'm old and ugly, but I'm with him. She goes, oh, no, I wasn't thinking that.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You cannot say that. Stop that.
But I was teasing her because it was like she was implying that the two of us didn't belong together. But we had the greatest time when he was here. We went cowboy store shopping, I have to call it that. You know, we went out and had some appetizers for dinner. I took him down by the San Joaquin River. I said, you want to go walk by the river? Let's go walk by the river. I mean, it was just a great time. And I thought, now, this is the way I want to enjoy a guy's company. I don't want to have to try to impress him or, you know. And I wasn't nervous because it wasn't a real date. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
He's with a lovely lady in England right now. So it wasn't about that. But, yeah, I'm pretty particular about guys. And, I mean, I'm asked out frequently, and I don't always accept it. As recently as about 5 years ago, I had a 19-year-old asking me out, and I said, I can't do that. I'm as old as your mother. Oh, we have to talk about one of the most gorgeous young men I've seen in a long time, and you know who he is. Don the Dragon Wilson's son, Jonathan.
Oh, yes. Jonathan Rusty Wilson. I had him on my show. He was such a sweetheart. He was very sweet.
Well, you haven't seen him in person, have you?
No, I just know I do pictures. The funny thing is, I know that Don the Dragon Wilson, he's really tall, and he's got real long legs, and Jonathan's taller than him, and I'm like, man, why did Don feed his son to get? Because Jonathan's taller than Don.
Oh, yeah. Don's 6'1", and Jonathan's 6'4". And Jonathan, really, we got to get this kid in movies. He's gorgeous. And he's got daddy's green eyes.
Oh,
you know.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
He's so cute. And I was like, you know, just very sweet that I felt very lucky to have him on my show. And, you know, I'm trying because I pictured this because, I guess the way I look at things, no one else looks at things the same way as I do. It's just how I look. And, you know, I'm trying to study history on samurais and ninjas. And I've always, my thing is I never really wanted to be Barbie growing up. I always wanted to be ninjas. So I got an idea for a story. And I don't want to say the plot, but I was like, I'm putting ideas on an album in my Facebook page. I have called Feudal War. And there's going to be good and bad ninjas up. Now, the thing is, you know, basically you think, you know, samurai's Japanese, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, Don Wilson, his bloodline is Japanese. So out of all the years Don was doing action films, no one has thought of him as being a samurai. So what I did is take Don the Dragon Wilson's head, took a program off the computer and stuck him in a samurai body. And I showed him it. He's like, oh, whoa. And I was like, I can't believe no one's seen this because he's got the look of it. And then I was like, I also did Jonathan and did the same thing as Jonathan as a samurai. So I'm putting them like on Team Samurai because I want them to play samurai in the film. And it's like, I was like thinking, man, where am I going to get the money for a film? And I'm thinking of like, you know, just get the story. Develop the story. It might take a little while, but, you know, getting all these ideas and then, you know, turn into a script and just seeing, I can see that. I can see Don the Dragon Wilson a samurai and Jonathan Hiroshi Wilson a samurai. And then it's like all the Douglas Wong and his son Travis Wong, like the ninja team, and there's like all these people. The thing is, too, like Sylvester Stallone, I want to get him to play like my dad because we got the same antics. We sound the same. You know, we're talking the same. And it would blend. It would work real well because, you know, sometimes you see parents and kids and stuff, and it's like they don't seem like they go well together. But I talk like Stallone sometimes. So it's kind of like, you know, and It's kind of, I'm talking the same way, you know, and I'm Italian and stuff, hey, you know, and it's like talking like this, and we're just like blends. So there I am, you know, just getting ideas, and I would love to put Jonathan in my film. And people like, we, you know, people, they ask me questions, and like, don't talk to me about the business part yet. Let me do my homework first, and I'm trying to learn as much as about samurai and just do my homework, and then I'll get the story turned into a script. And I'm writing part for myself and so many people. And I don't know if you know Stephen Lambert.
Yeah.
I found one of my ninja pals, and he's like, he's very sweet and stuff. And I want him to play the head bad guy. And the thing is, with, you know, how actors are, like James Woods plays a lot of bad guys. Well, Stephen, because of his experience, even though he's a great guy in real life, I want him to play the bad ninja because he has that much experience. And for safety reasons, I want to cast him as that. And then it's like, the head bad guy, you know, because he doubles for James Woods all the time, I would love to have James Woods be the head bad guy because there's no definition, no nothing. All you say is James Woods and you just shiver. So it's kind of like getting all these ideas and, like I said, try to, you know, I don't know how I'll come up with the money for it, but just seeing these guys and fitting them into that, I can see Jonathan and his dad playing samurais in a film. And it's just because it's like, it's going to go like kind of like back of a present to past. I don't want to give the plot away, but it'll all fit in. So once they have it together. So I just seen that, and I just cannot believe that no one ever saw Don the Dragon Wilson as a samurai. His bloodline is Japanese. And I'm like, man, no one, has he ever played? I don't think so. Do you ever remember any of his films? He's never played a samurai, right?
You know, it's really funny. A couple weeks ago, I pulled up on YouTube one of his old movies, Night Hunter, called it, about the vampire.
Yeah.
He looked so much like Lou Diamond Phillips, only prettier, you know.
Yeah, because he had the hair. He had like,
it was I love that.
Kind of down. It was. It wasn't like, you know what I'm saying. I know what it was.
Yeah.
I think in the 80s, and
yeah,
a lot of people had that hairstyle. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I just don't remember Don ever playing a samurai. And I can picture that. I go, why has no one ever thought of that? But then again, you know, when do people really have, you know, true to a character in a film? They'll just write it, and if they get the money, they can make it. But if I think because, you know, I think it's giving something where for fans, and I'm trying to stay true to it because, you know, I have a little bit of training in martial arts. It's just basic. And training in capoeira and a little bit training in Tai Chi myself, like learning about it. I did it for a year, capoeira did a couple of years. And then just having that, you know, basic knowledge and loving action films, because I'm writing the pot for myself. Of course I want to be in this film. And it's just working everybody together. Everyone will blend in together how it's going to come out. And I don't, like I said, since I don't have it copyrighted, I don't want to tell the plot. I probably can tell you some other time. But I just can picture these guys, Don and Jonathan as samurais. I really can, and they just have that you know, that those looks. So I know they could.
Well, you need to write in an evil redheaded woman character for me.
Well, you know, I was like, because I can add people, but see, the thing I'm going to do too is make sure in the clause that I'm kind of like in creative control. So I can do it's like if I want to add something and add it, it's like, you know, I'll be able to, okay, this is on the set, you know, it's like put it in there on set because that's what I don't want to lose the vision of what I'm thinking of because if it's like as it go along and it says, oh, I'm going to improv too because I'm not really, I'm slow at learning scripts, but improv, and so I can actually, you know, it says I can do things on the spot. When they change it, people might get nervous and say, okay, change it. So it's like, well, how about put this person in there? You know, and stuff like that. And it's like thinking as I'm going because, you know, I haven't done the script yet because everybody back in Boston, it's like to let you know I have a fiance and a family and everybody in Boston, they all get slaughtered. And there's a reason that I have to go out to California. So there's going to be a big slaughter fest in Boston. And then, yeah, everyone, it's going to be so traumatic. My fiance dies. And it's like, oh, my God. It's like it's so traumatic. And it's like, it's just this crazy thing that gets me out to California. And then it's like everything connects. And it's like it all makes sense with the story and stuff. But it's like, you know, having people getting ideas. And it's like, I know, network. And it seems like when you network with people, you know, if I know if like in films, if you add one person, sometimes they do promotion or they help out get funds or something like that. So it's like kind of adding people to it says, oh, can I have a part? And sometimes they help with other things in other ways. It says, well, you know, get someone, you know, you get backers or something. Everyone has a good script. And especially now where they're doing so much remakes. And I've been noticing, too, that this is why, like, with Martial Arts Kid and all this stuff where it's like I think it's going to be, you know, like I try to push the promotions for that and other things, too, is having an original and then also noticing the comments. And I try to stay away from bad things, but I can't help to see the people that love ninjas and samurais and their complaints. And I'm going, yeah, yeah, I'm a fan, too. And I'm like, what? And it's all this weird stuff where with weapons, right? No, weapons are not toys. And, you know, you're always told, you probably know this, to respect weapons, right? You know, no matter what they are, their guns, if they're props, katana blades and stuff. And I see sometimes, and I think it's to get more attention for the women. Pretty women and stuff, you know, and it's like I have no qualms about them being pretty, but when I'm seeing them, that they're looking like katana blades and stuff, and I'm going, why? And I know it's like they say sex sells and stuff like that, and it's like I try to explain it as best as I can. They're like, oh, you must be jealous of this beautiful woman. I go, no. And I try to explain the best I can, right the way I can. No, a katana blade is not a toy that you look like a lollipop. And it kind of like, it doesn't sit well with me, but they have it in these sexual position. I go, that's a weapon. Whether it's a doll or not, it's still a weapon, and it can cut you. And then, like, no one gets the point, but you know, if you stepped into a dojo, any weapon you handle, you respect it, you know, and it's like people don't get these ideas, and it's like, no, I'm not jealous, it's protection, because just like anything, prop guns or anything like that, you got to be careful when you work with them, because, you know, and I try to talk about it like, you know, we lost a really great person, Brandon Lee, when it was like the guys that actually worked on the set explained about it, where they sent the, I forget the coordinator or something, or it was something to do with the gun, and because they didn't, I forget the whole story, but it was an accident, and that was just an accident, and we lost Brandon Lee because of that accident, and that was a prop gun. You know, I think it was like a gun or something on set, and it wasn't really safety, it was some sort of weird accident, and it's like, do not people get the point of what I'm trying to say? It's for safety reasons, but no one ever wants to listen to me. They think whatever, this and that, but, you know, I'm going to be careful. Like anything on set, I'm also going to be careful. All the actors, even though they have the experience, and I think something's not, you know, not safe at all, even if even like Stephen Lambert, you know, I would be careful to be like, you know, if that doesn't look safe at all, no, we're going to change it. So I just want to protect everyone, too.
Did you see in my interview with Don where he shows the scar on his leg where he was accidentally stabbed with a sword by the star of the film?
Oh, I'm trying to think if I did.
It's pretty quick. It's kind of early on, and he lifts up his pant leg, and he shows the scar, and you can see it's still red where it was an accident, and the star had stuck the sword, and it went all the way into the bone.
Ugh. And then he go to the hospital, and then the next day he went back and, I think I know what you're talking about, because, I think that he went back to that, and it's weapons are a very serious thing on set, you know, and even people that have experiences, they said to be careful with it, so, you know, and to get further with you know, talking about sets and stuff, do you have any knowledge about the Martial Arts Kid? Are you involved in it or anything? I mean, what can you tell me about the Martial Arts Kid?
I'm not directly involved. I have interviewed many of the people connected with it. That's my way of helping to promote the film and hopefully help them make their goal on Kickstarter. They're, what, about $40,000 away, and they've got, what, 6-8 days left?
The last thing I was like, because I was trying to do it, and I keep bringing it up on my radio show. Let me see and bring it up. It was they have 7 days left, and they have $38,690 left to go. Because even within the last couple hours of me posting it, they got, like, another $1,000. So it's kind of like, it's almost right there. And so I'm just like, I hope that we can do it, because it would be a great, it's a family film, You know, it's also going to show, you know, respect in the community. And it's all these living legends that are actually going to be part of film. I think that's why it's going to be really, really special.
Well, you know, the little guy, I shouldn't say the little guy. Anybody under 40 is little to me. But anyway, the guy that's playing the martial arts kid, that Jansen Panettiere, his sister plays on the TV show Nashville, Hayden. That's his sister, the little blonde.
Oh, Nashville. It's like, if it's a TV program, I'm trying to figure
out.
It's
on Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock out here in California. My roommate is crazy about the show. I mean, she does not miss Nashville, you know.
I don't know a lot of TV shows because I don't own a TV. I haven't had a TV in 4 years. So it's like all the newest things I miss out. I said, someday I'll be able to afford a TV, but as of right now, I have my computer. So I don't know what the latest shows are. And I'm like, man, I'm missing out so much. And people talking about, don't you know this? I'm like, I don't know. So what is Nashville? What is that?
Oh, it's great. It's great. It's about an older country western singer, female, and Hayden Panettiere, it's hard to say the name. In fact, when I met Jansen, he had to pronounce it for me 3 times for me to even get it somewhat correct. But she's kind of the wicked, young, pretty girl that wants to kind of rub out the older country western singer. And there's just a lot of drama in it. It's an entertaining, I'd call it a nighttime soap opera. I'm kind of starting to get into it now to where, you know, I'll watch it when I have time over the weekend or whatever. I won't stay up to watch it. But now that I know Jansen, I'm more tempted to watch it, you know, knowing his the connection to the show. But when I interviewed him down at Dragon Fest, he was just absolutely adorable, just as cute as could be. And it was funny because he said something about Florida. And I says, well, you know, I've never been to Florida. And he goes, well, you've never been to Florida? Oh, you have to go to Florida. And I said, well, I'll take that as an invitation. And he turns around looking for the director. He goes, Mike. And let's see. Oh, TJ Storm. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, tell me about TJ. I know.
Oh, my God.
Here and there. Oh, what? Tell me about him.
I just wanted to say, take off your shirt. Let us look at your chest.
I'm trying to be good here, Debbie. You're sucking me back in.
And he's so nice, and he's so funny. Yeah, we got completely off track on the interview. You'll see it. It'll be out this week. We got completely off track. Started telling stories about other people that we know, because I've met Chuck Liddell a couple of times. Chuck's entertainment representation is located here in Fresno. It's Zinkin Entertainment. And so Chuck has been, you know, in and out of Fresno quite a bit. And Chuck did something really funny to me a couple years ago. I'm going to tell it on your show. I didn't tell TJ when I met him. I said, that's a story for another time, but I will tell it on your show. This happened several years ago. I got a text message on my cell phone with a picture of this guy. And I look at it, and I couldn't quite make out who the guy was. All I saw was this, you know, little guy in his skull cap, and he's got this silly smile on his face. And I thought, girl that I know who was crazy about hockey players. So she was always sending me pictures. What do you think of this guy? What do you think of this guy? So anyway, I figured it was Andrea sending me another picture of one of her little hockey players. Then I scrolled down, and there was a message underneath, and this kid had written, have sex with me. And I thought, I got indignant, and I started to text back, thinking I was texting to Andrea, saying, don't you dare go out with that guy. How dare he send you a picture and just say, have sex with me. That's terrible. Well, then I noticed that it was going back to Casey Olson. Now, Casey's an MMA fighter, a cute little guy, okay? And I was going, Casey sent me a text saying, have sex with me? Ew! That's not Casey's M.O. That's not Casey's M.O. So I got on the computer thinking it was some strange glitch in the cell phone, and I sent him an email, and I said, Casey, did you mean to send that last message to me? And I get a message back. He says, Chuck has my phone and is sending stuff out. Sorry. Chuck Liddell had gotten hold of his – he trains Casey – gotten hold of his cell phone. They were on their way to Europe, although they were on the freeway going from San Luis Obispo to L.A., and Casey was in a separate car, so Chuck pulls up next to him, and he shows him his cell phone. He goes, I have your cell phone. Well, Casey knew what that meant, because if Chuck gets a hold of your phone, he does strange things with it. So what Chuck had done was had a picture of Casey and put have sex with me and was sending it out to all the females in his address book. So that's my funny Chuck Liddell story. So when I did meet Chuck, he was at Josh Koscheck, also lives here in Fresno, another UFC fighter. So I went over to meet Chuck, and I printed out the whole message, picture and everything of Casey. So when Chuck goes for an 8x10 color glossy of himself to autograph for me, I says, oh, no, you can just sign this. And I put it down in front of him, and he starts to laugh. And I said, you can just put pay up, Casey. And he started laughing. And then a couple months later, Chuck was on Dancing with the Stars with Mark Dacascos, who's also friends with Dawn and James.
Oh, Mark Dacascos. Oh, my gosh. I found his Twitter. Because I was like, because I missed all the shows like Hawaii Five-0, and he was on that. So I watched Only the Strong. I can't even tell you how many times I think I broke the DVD I have of Only the Strong, because he was in that and he was doing capoeira, and like there's so many things that I liked him and he was in. So I go, yo, hey, capoeira brother. And he tweets me back on, hey, capoeira sister. So I found the right guy on Twitter, and I was like, yeah, it was him, because he said he was going to do it live when the show, I forget where it was, and I happened to find him. Like, man, he inspired me about capoeira and stuff, because, you know, at the time I was actually looking for Jeet Kune Do, and I couldn't find it back home in Boston. I didn't really know where to look, so I knew a closer martial arts studio, so it was like they were doing capoeira there, and I was like, so I was doing that, and I did that for a couple of years, and it's like everybody that came to my apartment, I was like showing them Only the Strong. So you want to watch this, and the music, and Mark Dacascos, he's so cute. What's he been up to? What's up with that? You know, it's kind of like, I was like, where is he? What's he been doing? And, you know, we did he's just amazing, and he's very sweet. And I was like, man, if I ever, like, I don't know. I think I would just, like, I wouldn't be able to talk if he was ever on my show. Like, there's all these people that I want to capture for posterity, for preserving on my show.
Right.
And that's another reason. You know, this whole show that I've done, I had no idea it was going to turn into this, where I thought I was going to talk about my idol, Jackie Chan, and blah, 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 and just, like, talk about ninjas and all this stuff. And it just evolved where my show is to preserve their, you know, the history of the Sun community, because, I mean, there's many people that I probably, you know, because they're not of this earth anymore, like Bruce Lee and Brandon Lee, I would never be able to get them on my show, but people that have worked with them, been around there, and catching, you know, of their voices on my show and preserving, you know, the Sun community martial arts, and that's why I've been working so hard, and, you know, I do everything myself. On everything myself, and, you know, have more people on my show, and if it was like Mark Dacascos, I'd be like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, I'm gonna pee my pants. Like, I get so excited, I get overzealous, and I can't help myself. And these are people that I will never trade. Like, you know, as we all get older, I was like, I don't care what anybody says, because these people I've loved my whole life, I'm never giving them up, because, you know, they're older than me, and they're still the same people to me, you know, and it's just something out of respect. I don't know if it's a loyalty, but I can never give them up. And Mark's a cutie. I can't help it. You know, he also played a pro. He's the only one that did a good job after Brandon. It was like the other two guys that kind of played the crow, I think it was like career suicide for them. It was kind of like, you know, if you're not a martial artist, don't play the crow, because they're supposed to remake it and stuff. But the show itself, I remember watching it, and Mark did a really great job playing the crow. He was the only other guy that could pull it off besides Brandon. Maybe because they were martial artists, I really... maybe that's what gave him a little bit of the extra thing of doing the crow. But Mark, oh, he's a cutie. You know, oh boy, I hope I don't get myself my foot in my mouth, because what happens if someday, you know, if I did get Mark on my show, he'd like be hearing this show and come back, now, Shelly, and I'd be like, oh my god, you know, you never know who's going to be listening to the show.
You know, if you were going to make a trip to California, I would say either come to one of the days at the Martial Arts History Museum where they honor someone. They're going to honor Don the Dragon Wilson soon, and I don't know if they've done Mark Dacascos yet, but you know what I'm saying? That's a great time. but also they have an annual award ceremony for the Martial Arts History Museum in Burbank, and this year it's going to be on September 6th. That would be worth your trip to California.
Oh, my gosh.
These people would be there. You know who kissed me at Dragon Fest? And I have it on my show. Benny the Jet.
Benny the Jet, really?
Yes. He is so sweet. That's the thing. We're talking about martial artists. People usually think of them as being, you know, hardcore, badass kind of people. Most of the ones I've met are so nice. Oh, and I met James Hong, and we talked about Keanu Reeves on my show. You know, because he did the scene. He did the scene with Keanu Reeves in The Day the Earth Stood Still where they're speaking in Mandarin.
Mm.
It's a great, if you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. Keanu Reeves plays the space alien, and James Hong plays a space alien that has been here for a while. And they meet up at a McDonald's. And James Hong sits down and Keanu Reeves sits down. And they start speaking in Mandarin so that people around them can't understand them. And again, James Hong said that Keanu Reeves was very nice and wonderful to work with. And he says, yeah, he learned that all on his own. I took a semester of Mandarin. I can say very few words. You know, it was 20 years ago. But, you know, I have great respect for actors that learn their craft.
Yeah. And you know how you just pull up?
Oh, go ahead. No, it's just that, you know, they work a lot harder than people realize.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that just from working on independent films. You know, it's repetition and going over and over again. And speaking of really great people, you know, James Hong, right? He's been in 60 years in the business, and there's a petition going around to get him, you know, while he's still here on this earth, is to get him a star on the Walk of Fame. And it's like people that haven't been here that long, and they get these stars, and it's kind of like, why can't he get, you know, I don't know what it is or how they go about getting a star. And it's like 60 years in the business and the guy doesn't have a star on the Walk of Hall of Fame. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like, I mean, why? I don't know how that goes about, what the procedure or the process is. But, you know, if it's something where 60 years, some people probably 10 years or less, and it's, you know, people like love him, you know, and I don't even know how they would do that, the process, but he definitely deserves one.
Yeah. No, he was really nice to talk to. I couldn't talk to him for very long. At Dragon Fest, I just literally ran around, and probably most of my interviews were 3 to 4 minutes long. But it was just the moment to be able to sit down with that person and meet them, you know, and, of course, I act really cool about it, and then I go home and jump up and down. You know, Cynthia Rothrock, I had met her a year before. And if you didn't know who Cynthia Rothrock was, and you just started talking to her, and somebody says, okay, guess what she does? You know, how many people are going to guess? This is, you know, one of the world's top female martial artists.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we kind of had trouble getting us all together at the same time to interview, I wanted to interview Dawn and Cynthia and James all at the same time. Well, Cynthia was climbing Mount Everest when we were down.
I read that. Yes, and she got, like, sick, and I read it all up on her Facebook page, and it was like, here I am, I'm in Maine, talking about, I'm hiking up some mountains. Oh, my God, what she went through and how she was, like, getting sick and all these places up, and it's like, imagine that. I was like, wow. And, you know, speaking of wow, I've got another caller. Can you hold that thought? I'm going to bring
another
caller.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Hmm?
Hello, caller. You on the air?
Hey, Shelley. What's up? This is Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Not bad. Are you talking about funding tonight?
For the Martial Arts Kids film?
Yeah. Or funding in general?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it's on Kickstarter, and it's almost there. 7 days left to it.
All right, because what happened was, today I came across a site, and I was thinking of you, and by coincidence, here you are today, the same day. Are you familiar with the FromTheHeartProductions.com?
No, the only two that I know is Indiegogo and the Kickstarter.
All right. Go to FromTheHeartProductions.com when you have the time, because the site's devoted to helping indie filmmakers get funding.
What is it called? FromTheHeart.com?
FromTheHeartProductions. That's with an S, Productions.com. FromTheHeartProductions.com. I just found that a few hours ago I was thinking of you, and I'm... I'm over here at BTR surfing, found you, and now you're the very topic that I was thinking about with regards to you today is what you're talking about. So cool. So I know you believe in karma, but I don't. But in any case, there you got it, all right? So I'll let
you
go back to your show. No problem. I'll let you get back to your show, all right?
All right, well, you enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, Debbie, that's one of my callers. He was, like, one of my first callers when I started the show a couple years ago, and he just, he ever calls in once in a while. I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to look in that afterwards because I just typed it on, opens up another page on my my computer here. So what was I saying, the last thought? Sometimes I just pass and I get a brain fart.
We were just talking about all the gorgeous men. Oh, this is what's funny. When they have, like, a special day down at the museum, like Art Camacho Day, I kicked myself in the butt for not going because, you know, I'm like 3.5 hours away from Southern Cal. It would be worth it just to go down there and look at the guys. I'm like, oh, my God, look at all these handsome men. Why did I go down there, you know? But, yeah, we were talking about the annual award ceremony for the Martial Arts History Museum in Burbank, which like I say, this year it's going to be September 6th, and I'm going down, and I hope to take my little camera crew with me. Now I've got my camera crew interested in martial arts. In fact, my guy Johnny that went down with me for Dragon Fest, he really surprised me. Johnny's super cool, you know. I mean, he's very professional. He's very polite, and, you know, he was even James Hong asked him for his card. But when we got to Benny the Jet, Johnny put his camera down, and he says to Benny, can I have a photo? I'm a big fan. I was just kind of surprised. It was so funny. He was so excited about meeting Benny the Jet. And I was like, later on, I was like, gosh, Johnny, you know, he was just a little bit before your time. I mean, I remember him when I first got started in martial arts. He was on all the martial arts magazine covers. But I'm thinking, how does Johnny know about him? He's just, and I'm so embarrassed I can't think of the name of the film, but it was with Jackie Chan. Apparently he had this great scene fighting with Jackie Chan.
Yes, he did. He fought Jackie. Oh, my gosh. Which one was it? I'm picturing it now because I think Benny the Jet is on the right side of the screen, and I'm picturing Jackie on the left side of the screen. I know what you're talking about. I'm like, oh! I'm trying to think of Sammo Hung was in that one with them, but I know which one you're talking about because I can picture them fighting, and I can't. Oh, now I'm having a brain fart, and I have to Google this. So it's like, now I got to Google this. Like, Jackie. No, I'm doing this live on the air right now because I got a brain fart, and now I'm gonna be like, and then Jackie Chan and Benny the Jet. No, I got to do this right now because it's gonna drive me crazy. Let's see, Jackie Chan and Benny Jet. Wheels on Meals. His brother was in it, and I think both of his brothers was in it, or was it Dragons Forever? It could have been Wheels on Meals, or I'm trying to think which one it was. It was his final fight. It says, okay, yes, it's Wheels on Meals, and I think both of Yun Bao, I never can pronounce the name right, but I think both of Jackie's brothers were both in that film together.
Oh, my. You know, one of these weekends when I, you know, I'm actually home, I'm just going to have to start looking at some of the martial arts films from yesteryear, catch up on them again. Part of my problem is just time. You know, I'm usually taking off, going somewhere. When you come out to California, you've got to see Monterey and Carmel. You've got to see our beaches. Down in Southern California, they're warmer. You get up in Northern California, it's cooler. But one of my great escapes when I want to just get out of town for the weekends, we usually go over to Carmel. And, you can see there's an old movie, probably before you were born, called Play Misty for Me. It was Clint Eastwood's directorial debut. Yeah, watch that movie because it's a lot of footage of Carmel and Monterey. Absolutely beautiful place to be.
Oh, man. I'm jealous. I'm freezing. I got the heat on tonight. I'm up here in, the North Pole. I swear, I'm like, what's going on? No, I really got the heat on tonight. I turned the heat back on. I'm like, I'm kind of chilly. I'm up here in the North Pole. I gotta move to California, live out there for a little while because I don't think it's just to try to, act, but, I've never been out on the West Coast, so some people say, hey, no big deal, something. But, I want to see it for myself. Not just for
you
myself.
Do. You
I want to step on a beach.
Yeah.
Put my toes in the sand, breathe in the air. Because in my 20s, I used to be at beaches all the time over on the East Coast over here. And it's like, man, and I used to run around in the bikinis all the time. But it's just something about the beach and relaxed and the nice warm weather. You're sitting on a towel and you're just like, it was very soothing. Just very, very refreshing.
Oh, absolutely. You got to come out sometime. Spend a couple months down in Southern California, It's funny. Do you have Trader Joe's back in the East Coast, the store Trader Joe's?
I don't know where. I know there's one around here somewhere, but I know what Trader Joe's is,
Well, it's funny because a friend of mine who lives in Hollywood, she and her mom both actresses. Her mom is sort of serves as my agent/manager. And Heather posted on Facebook, she said, the Trader Joe's in Hollywood is like a candy store. So my last trip down there, I had to make sure that I checked out the Trader Joe's in Hollywood. And, yeah, it's like a candy store. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So. I heard that they don't have out there, even though I used to go to Dunkin' Donuts all the time, and I heard that they don't have them out there in California.
Not really. I mean, I've heard of it. I know that they sell the coffee out here, but I don't think we have one right here. We had Krispy Kreme for a while, which was really popular donuts. But it went out of business here in Fresno. I don't know if it went out all over.
Yeah. No, I think of what it was is because it's like, you know how donuts, it's like they were good, but I think it was like pure grease. So it's you want to get you lubed up and your stomach inside. Yeah, have a couple of donuts. And I remember one time I had the Oreo cookie one. And I was
God.
Oh, so good. And it was just they were so bad because when you're getting out of a club or something like that, it's late at night and it's you want to go somewhere. And I think this place was open up till 1 o'clock in the morning. And be like, if you left the club early enough, you could go there. And they kind of made some of the donuts fresh right there, but at one time, I remember I made myself sick afterwards. I had 5 donuts at one time. And that was so
my
bad because they're not. It's like Green City. It's like, ew. And I'm like, now I'm sitting here and I want a donut. See, thanks, Debbie. I want a donut. I don't have any of that stuff in my house, and now I want a donut.
I know. I don't bring it into my house, and I don't go out and buy it. But if I happen to be somewhere, at a party, and somebody's got them, look out.
exactly. I'm sitting here going, man, because I don't have it either. So it's like it's not in the house, and I won't eat it, and I don't have to go out my way to get it. But, if I'm out somewhere, I'm kind of guilty of that, too. Plus, ice cream. My gosh. A guilty is charged here.
Out here we're kind of all about smoothies and salads, I'm not saying that there aren't unhealthy, overweight people out here, but for the most part, when my friends and I get together, it's like we go to it's a buffet, but it's a salad buffet. It's called Sweet Tomatoes, and then down in Southern California, they call it Soup Plantation, or we go to Jamba Juice. Get smoothies.
Yeah, I heard of Jamba Juice. And you know what I think it is, too? I think it might have to do with the weather because in New England, the weather is so cold and it's bitter cold. Some people really like it. And it's just as I've gotten older, I don't know. I can't stand it anymore. And it's you stay inside. You don't want to go out because it's so bitter cold in the winter, especially up in Maine. It's so cold here. I don't even think polar bears or penguins to like live here. No, I swear to God. I mean, I know there's moose and stuff around because there was a moose on my backyard one time, but I swear to God, I don't think they'd ever be able to survive here. It gets that cold here in the wintertime, and it's like no one wants to leave their house. I mean, I don't know how people go ice fishing, but, yeah, I'm just like, I don't want to do the winter anymore. I was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm so done with the winter.
out here, we have coyotes and rattlesnakes.
Oh, jeez. Rattlesnakes?
Well,
oh.
actually, where James Liu lives, he lives sort of in a hilly area. And he said that coyotes come down to their neighborhood. So you have to be really careful if you have small pets, small dogs, small cats, because the coyotes will get them. Yeah,
well, I don't mind outside. I've always had, you know, it's like my cats are indoor cats, and my dogs, I don't let them outside. You know, it's their indoor cats, and I take really good care of them. There's no way, there's no way at all I would let my animals outside. So that's kind of something, you know, and I mean, around here, it's kind of where I live. It's a little bit kind of city-ish, but it's city-like or whatever, but I don't let my cats out. My cats are indoor cats, and, you know, people are like, oh, I should not let them. No, because there's, like, eagles around here. In my backyard, there's an eagle, and they would look at the cat like, mmm, dinner. You know,
yeah.
And so like, no, you know, I mean, that's, they're predators and stuff. And yeah, there's been, you know, other animals around here, but I know what you're talking about. No way. I would not let my cats out.
Well, speaking of animals, I still haven't walked my Siberian Husky yet today. I know we have no business having Siberian Huskies here in Fresno because it gets so hot, but I'm going to have to go take the dog for a walk before it gets dark. This has been a lot of fun, Shelley. We'll have to do this again.
Thank you so much, and keep in touch. I hope you can, you know, call me on my show another time.
I will. I've got your number now.
All righty. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Shelley. Good night.
All right. Night, night. Oh, this is so cool. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I get the most awesome people on my show. Really, really, really excited about getting everybody on my show. And Sunday, Eric Lee is going to be on my show. I cannot believe that. I told you, I'm getting really cool and interesting people, you know, on my show. And bring it up here once again. Let me see. I am going to bring up Martial Arts Kids once again. And I am going to that, bringing up the page. You know, once again, about the Martial Arts Kid, you have 7 days left to go. 7 days left to go. And it has been shared over 16,993 times. I don't know how many times it's been tweeted, but once again, with the Martial Arts Kid, the Martial Arts Kid is a spectacular coming-of-age family action film that is founded in traditional and mixed martial arts. The Martial Arts Kid is going to be a classic coming-of-age movie for the whole family. It features important topics like class struggles, bullying, friendship, loyalty, responsibility, family, community, and even a sweet love story. The film will be partly shot in beautiful and sunny Florida and will star the greatest ensemble of martial arts legend ever assembled anywhere, ever. Hot cars, sunny beaches, epic battles, bad guys, and even some bad girls. Not since The Fast and the Furious has a movie screen had this much high-octane action. Your face will melt from the heat of the battles. This will be the greatest ensemble of real martial artists since Enter the Dragon in Force 5. And this is the story itself, the plotline. When troubled teen Robbie moves to Cocoa Beach, Florida from Detroit, after his grandmother's had enough of his antics, he soon realizes that everywhere he goes, there is somebody who doesn't want him to be happy. And in Cocoa Beach, that somebody is Bo Whitelaw, the toughest and most popular guy at the high school. From the moment Bo gives Robbie a beatdown in front of Rena, the prettiest girl in school, we know Robbie's chances of living in a happy neighborhood are just not realistic. To help Robbie stand a chance of survival in a dangerous teen world, his estranged Aunt Cindy and Uncle Glenn, played by action legends Cynthia Lady Dragon Rothrock and Don the Dragon Wilson, are there to coach and train Robbie. Along the way, Robbie learns defensive skills that will give him a chance to defend himself. But will that be enough to protect himself from Bo in an all-out epic battle? And will Robbie ever be the man in Rena's eyes? find out when everything comes to a head in a final showdown that pits legends of traditional martial arts against MMA fighters in a battle you'll have to see to believe. And it actually says on the Kickstarter, there's so much information, but it does say, where will the money go? Now, we will have some of the funding, yes. We're not penny pinchers, but to make movies as high quality as it should be, we need your extra help. The producers have over 100 years of filmmaking experience between them. Then utilizing, and I'm going to try to pronounce his name as best I can, Michael Baumgarten's past filmmaking successes at achieving high production value, even on a low budget, Michael will create an on-screen world that gives the martial arts kid a combination of beauty, American life, and the grittiness of a sometimes dangerous world, while also getting major discounts on the equipment, locations, crew rates, and cast rates, while putting the money on the screen by bringing in some of the biggest names in martial arts. And in the grand scheme, with literally producing the entire movie for even less than one supporting actor on hit sitcom gets paid in a week. We're all cutting our rates because we really want to make the martial arts kid for our fellow martial artists around the world and for the fans of action movies in general. We want to prove the value of names such as Don the Dragon Wilson and Cynthia Lady Dragon, Rock Rock, and there's a true interest in real martial arts films with a message. Well, we can't do this without your help. And it says, where would we shoot? And I'm going to bring it up here. Give me one moment. My little cursor thing is stuck here, so I'm bringing it up. It says, where will we shoot? Getting out of Los Angeles and filming many of the major exterior locations in Cocoa Beach, Florida, is a cinematographer's dream. The vibe of an authentic Florida beach town is unique and offers great production value opportunities. We will feature amazing sunrises, beautiful waters, a local zoo, and all of the local flavor that makes this Florida coast city a tourist destination. Fight choreography, when you want the best, you seek out the best. Our fight scenes will be choreographed by veteran martial artist and stuntman James Wu. James has worked on Rush Hour, Lethal Weapon 4, The Last Samurai, Inception, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Battleship, Tropic Thunder, Dark World, Showtown, and Little Tokyo in the TV series For the Crow. And then you can see there all the perks that you get with it. If you donate to, money, that you can do back this project, dollar minimum pledge. And there's like $5, $10, and you can go there and check it out. It's on Kickstarter, but it's a really worthwhile, film to, help invest in. And I'm sure you definitely will not be disappointed there. So, definitely check it out on Kickstarter. And then once again, I'll bring up again on the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. On the official site, you can look up, it's Falling for the Stars, and if you go there, once again, about the museum, hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and stunt performers of motion pictures and television featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Steve McQueen, and stunt legends of the movies, including Yakima Canute, Cliff Lyons, Dave Sharp, Ronnie Randell, and hundreds of others. There are over 350 concrete blocks that contain the footprints and handprints as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema, a collection that outranks those that are located at the Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection has taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and preserve for posterity, featuring parts of costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos and paintings and drawings, hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hundreds of items from the movies and television, plus videos, films, and film clips. The Hall of Fame has been in existence since 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984, dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and to honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without a home and needs financial support to enable them to afford a building in which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame and mail it to 81 West Kane Creek Boulevard, K-A-N-E Creek, C-R-E-E-K Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2160. His email address is johnhagner@gmail.com, johnhagner@gmail.com. For additional information, go to Facebook and click in Falling for Stars, then another page, Artist of the Stars, and next page, then Stunt Stars and Legends. And you can check that out. Plus, I posted the pages on my Facebook page. So If you want to go check out my page, Shelly Comedy and Chuck, all this information will be on there. Oh, boy, my shows go by really, really fast, especially if, like, you know, when I have a guest or someone calling in, really, really cool, you know, that Debbie did call in, and it's just, like, amazing, 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 amazing people that I get on my show, and I feel very, very blessed. And everyone out there, you know, what I say, you guys all that have dreams out there. You know, I believe in you, and you're as good as anybody else, and you should definitely go for it. Never let anything stand in the way of your dreams. You know, if you work hard, they will come true. It might take a little while, but they definitely will come true if, as long as you work hard for them. And, wow, I can't believe that the 2 hours have gone by that fast. And I'm trying to think, let's see, what do I want to end the show with right now? What didn't I play? Okay, I'm going to end the show with Tony J, If I Could Fly. And thank you so much to my listeners and supporters. Thank you so much in tuning in and, you know, helping out with my show and listening to my show. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And everyone, I'm looking forward to Ninja Sunday with Eric Lee. And guess what? I'm getting Mel Novak also on my show. Ninja Sunday, Eric Lee. Can't wait. I feel so honored to have him on my show. Well, everyone, have a good night.
If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky. I gotta get this money, that's all I know. I'm blowing out, girl, cause I'm so fly. I know, oh, you don't know no one like me. It might be that I'm so, oh, close to the ground and I'm down here dealing with real life. It make me wanna take you by the hand like, now we taking off, just as quick as your clothes, I'll take you higher. Baby, just so you know, I'm a rider. And if I'm on the road, you know I'm thinking about you till I fly back home. I'm telling you, I wanna be the kind of guy that I always wanna be there for you. Go through the stormiest weather, just so we can be together.
If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky.
If you wanna see a star, I could be a Superman in the air, I could rescue you. I could let you hold my hand, I will let you go almost anywhere if you wanna go far. Cloud nine, only for the night, you look good and I wanna make you mine. But about time, I gotta catch a flight, I hate to say it, baby girl, but your time's up, time's up. I guess you out of luck, girl. I'll be back and we can travel that world. Baby, you ain't gotta worry about a thing. I can put you under my wings.
If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd spread my wings out and take off in the sky. If I could fly, if I could fly, I'd soar through these clouds watching planes go by. And as I go by, I'll be looking down on you, you'll be looking up at me. Soon you will see. Planes go.